and welcome to the Public Safety Committee of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. My name is John Avalos, the chair of the committee, and joined to my right by committee member Christina Olage. The other committee member, Eric Marr, is not able to make it today, so I'd like to motion to excuse his absence. If we could
motion to excuse Supervisor Eric Marr.
Okay, we'll take that without objection. The clerk of the committee is Ms. Gail Johnson. The two SFGTV staff who are working on today's hearing are Nona Melkonian and Carolyn Luber. We are also joined by Supervisor Malia Cohen, and she is most welcome to be here as her hearing is sponsored by herself. Madam Clerk, could you please call item number one and share us your announcements before that, please?
All persons attending this meeting are requested to turn off all cell phones and pagers. If you wish to submit material for members of the committee, please submit an extra copy for the file. If you wish to submit a speaker's card, please put it by the container in front of you at the rail to your left.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And if you could please call the first item.
Item one, hearing to discuss public safety policies and programs implemented by city departments such as the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency and the San Francisco Police Department on citywide muni lines, including the enforcement of muni fare collection.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This item is brought to us by Supervisor Malia Cohen, who is here. Supervisor Cohen.
Everyone, thank you for joining us today. Colleagues, I am very grateful for you taking a moment to hear this item. This past year, there were a number of violent incidents on Muni, particularly happening in District 10, one of which has dealt with an officer-involved shooting of an individual who was originally stopped by a fare inspector. In the wake of this event, this incident, I've been working with MTA and SFPD to better understand what the policies and programs currently, and to obviously offer a public voice to these policies and programs. This request is a direct response to particularly the Kenneth Harding shooting, and this request has come from the community, so I'm very honored to bring this to the forefront today. Today we are going to hear from both SFMTA staff on this particular issue, and we also have a representative from the San Francisco Police Department should there be questions for PD. So without further ado, thank you, Mr. Chair. Let's get started.
Okay.
So I believe we have, first up, we have the MTA Director, Ed Riskin. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Good morning, Chairperson Avalos, Supervisor Olage, and Supervisor Cohen. Very happy to be here and want to thank Supervisor Cohen for her leadership in bringing forward an issue that's very important to us. Before I start, I'll take a moment, since I'm here, to reflect on and apologize for the rush hour this morning. We had a very unfortunate occurrence where we had a private vehicle drive down into the DeBose portal that disrupted all of the subway activity for a couple hours this morning. The police have arrested the individual who was driving the vehicle, and I say this not just because it's timely, but because I think it is indicative of the partnership we have between the police department and the MTA. The police department folks work very expeditiously and quickly to both deal with the individual, but also to assess the incident, to perform their investigation, and to work with us to get service back for the hundreds of thousands of people that we serve each day in the subway. And that really is indicative of the partnership that we have with the PD every day that we're very grateful for. Coming to the matter of the subject of today's hearing, the SFMTA board 2 weeks ago adopted a new strategic plan for the agency for the next 6 years, and we established four goals within that plan, and the number one goal, and deliberately number one, was safety. It's the strong conviction of the agency that people need to feel safe when they're riding Muni, People need to feel safe if they're driving a bus, if they're operating a train, if they're walking in the street, riding a bike, driving their car. Transportation needs to be safe in order for it to be effective for everybody in the city. And transportation needs to work for the city to work. So we deliberately made safety the number one goal in our strategic plan. It's something that the MTA board was supportive of, and it reflects the values of the agency and the importance we place on public safety. Safety within the MTA is a broader construct than just crime. It's safety of our employees. It's safety of the public in terms of collisions between vehicles or bicycles or pedestrians. But crime on Muni, which I think is more the topic of this hearing, is really front and center, and we certainly want people to feel safe riding anywhere in the Muni system. I think that we're very fortunate. We're at a good point in time, not only because we have leadership from the SFMTA board and adopting safety as our primary goal, but also because we have great leadership from the police department. Greg Sir has appointed, I think, one of the best of the command staff and the entire police department to be the lead for the SFMTA, and that's Commander Militello, who you'll hear from shortly. And we have an outstanding working relationship with the SF Police Department through Commander Militello. And what we've done is we've brought together really a lot of our safety and enforcement portfolio all together under her. So it's not just the Muni Task Force that's dealing with the crime on Muni, but it's all as well traffic enforcement, fare enforcement, parking enforcement, really all under the umbrella. She's also assisting with taxi enforcement issues. So really everything kind of safety and enforcement related brought together under her leadership, which I think is really moving the ball forward. I think you'll see in her presentations our Chief Safety Officer Reggie Mason's presentation some of the statistics that are showing that some of these efforts are bearing fruit. That we do have some problem areas that you'll hear about as well, but I think we have very good focused leadership, and we've got the entire executive team of the MTA aligned with the goal of safety as a number one priority and supporting Leah and Reggie in executing their tasks. We do certainly see safety as more than just enforcement. And there's education and outreach component that's very much important as well. You may have seen some of the ads that we have on the buses and trains, encouraging people to act in a way that's less likely to make them victims of crime. We actually had an ad campaign that was recognized with an award by the American Public Transit Association at its last annual meeting because of the quality and effectiveness of the campaign. But we still have work to do in terms of safety on Muni, and we'll talk to you about some of the things that we're doing both on the enforcement side, on the education side, partnerships with others, including the school district. But I want to thank you again for holding this hearing. I have another meeting that after I take any questions you have, I'm going to try to zip back to, but leaving you in good hands with our Chief Safety Officer, Reggie Mason, our police commander, Leah Militello, and also the gentleman who runs the Muni Transit Assistance Program, Sulu Pelega, who will all be able to walk you through what we have to present and answer any questions that you might have.
Colleagues, any questions for the general manager? Okay, we'll go on to the next stage.
Good morning, Chairperson Avalos, Supervisors. My name is Reginald Mason. I'm the Director of Safety, Training, Security, and Enforcement for the SFMTA. Today, I'm going to have Commander Militello come and speak to you about the partnership between our agency and the police department and how we perform enforcement on the Muni system. Commander Militello joined us back in May of last year, and before that time, we had some issues regarding how we did fare enforcement and security on the system. So we both met and devised a plan of using the CompStat statistics to target high crime areas to reduce crime. As you'll see in the presentation, Commander Miotello will go over some of the hot spots and the way we do our saturations, that you'll get a better understanding and the public will get a better understanding of how we perform our enforcement. So I'm going to turn it over to Commander Miotello, then I'll be up here with her open for questions. Commander.
Supervisor Avalos.
Is that for your PowerPoint? Do you want to be able to speak from that mic?
Yeah, I would. That's okay. Am I on now? Oh, great. Supervisor Avalos, Supervisor Cohen, Supervisor Loggi, thank you very much for, one, holding this hearing and for giving me the opportunity to tell you what we are doing at SFPD in our partnership with MTA to make our transit system one of the safest in the country. And I look forward to walking you through this presentation and answering any questions that you may have. Currently, the SFPD and the SFMTA have agreed to utilize CompStat data when coming up with enforcement plans citywide on our transit system. I read every single Muni report that of any crime that occurs on Muni. We input that statistical data into our CompStat system, and this information is disseminated to members of the MTA and to every district station police captain. The reason for that is to engage the captains in creating enforcement plans to deal with issues that occur on transit within their police districts. This next slide, what you will see is something that's typical of what we give to them. This is the citywide CompStat weekly report that went out on November 16th. And as you can see, it's fairly comprehensive. What you have is citywide incidents by month of occurrence. You have citywide incidents by day of occurrence, which shows the ebbs and flows of when most incidents are occurring on Muni. Interestingly enough, sort of midweek is where we're having the largest peak. It also shows it by hour of occurrence, which indicates really sort of mid-afternoon is a peak time for incidents that occur on Muni. It then takes it by incident code, which goes through, as you'll see, the various crimes and things that occur on Muni, and then it moves to by Muni line, and then by citywide intersection. In addition to the citywide report that you see in front of you, each district captain receives a graph exactly like this that is specifically for their own district, which shows where they're having issues, what the issues are, and I'm in direct communication with the district station captains in terms of the things that are happening on our transit lines. What they then do is provide me with a monthly Muni enforcement plan, both in an operational order format and a Muni enforcement calendar, to address the issues that are in their own districts. The next slide, you will see an example. This one, for instance, is a Northern Station calendar that was developed by Captain Mannix back and her staff back in November to deal with the different times and the different issues that you see in that district. Every district station captain provides not only this, but a Muni enforcement operations order to deal with the issues on transit in their districts. The next slide, what you will see is the Muni-related incidents from prior year to month-to-date incidents. This was from the middle of November, where you can see each police district. Where you see a minus, that is where crime is at in their districts. So, for instance, you'll see that Park Station is, as of the middle of November, we're down 40% in Muni crime. The Bayview district is right around 3%, and you will see that, for instance, the Northern district has a 31% rate. But what I'm very proud of is when I took over at MTA I worked very closely with Captain Mannix. We were at a 46% rate back in May, and we brought that down to a 31% rate over the last several months, and it continues in a downward trend, and that's a lot to do with both her officers and the MTA folks that work directly for me. The next slide explains the resources that are assigned to the SFMTA from the police department. Besides myself, the staff at MTA are comprised of one captain, one sergeant, and seven uniformed officers that are responsible for, the sergeant and seven officers are responsible for uniformed patrol of our transit system. Additionally, we have one sergeant and four canine teams. Those teams are comprised of an officer and their dog. They basically deal with issues relating to bomb threats and possible devices on our system. They've been highly successful. We utilize the dogs when we get reports of, you know, suspicious packages, and our dogs are able to go in and make the determination if there's in fact a problem, and they're able to get transit moving, which is something that we are very supportive of. Their primary responsibility is the Muni Metro Rail system, but we put them wherever the need is. Their secondary responsibility of the Muni response team is to assist transit fare inspectors during their saturation operations, which they do about 3 days a week. They work a staggered schedule and are on duty approximately 13 hours per each day.
Is this group, what portion of the work order that the SFMTA funds for the police department would this cover?
There's two pieces. There is the Muni enforcement piece, which is where these folks fall under, and then there's the traffic piece, Supervisor Avalos, where our motorcycle and traffic, entire traffic company, falls under. So they would fall under the piece of Muni enforcement.
And do you know what the allocation is for this?
Off the top of my head, I didn't come prepared with those figures. I apologize. The second set of resources that is assigned to SFMTA is the Muni Task Force. These officers are funded by a FEMA TSA grant. Currently, they have one sergeant and seven plainclothes officers that report to the captain of MRT. Their primary duty is they target the most problematic lines, they work in plainclothes, and they work a variety of not only decoy operations, robbery operations, but they also conduct investigations regarding incidents that occur on Muni. One thing that I didn't include in my slide, because it's information I just got, that I'm incredibly proud of, is in 2011, this team of officers were assigned 130 cases. Of those 130 cases, they solved 127 of them. Of those 127, 120 of those were solved via arrest. And really, that was a collaborative effort between this group of officers and our SFMTA partnership that we have. Our onboard camera system is working tremendously to assist us in bringing people to justice that commit crime on Muni. So I'm very, very proud of their results and the things that they've been doing. They work, they start work at 11 o'clock in the morning and end at 9 o'clock at night, and they are certainly available and have worked any hours I've asked them to work. So it's a great benefit, not only to the police department, but to the MTA. Excuse me. Next is our fare evasion program. Currently, we have 36 transit fare inspectors that check for proof of payment system-wide. This was one of the things that I changed when I came on board at MTA. I spent quite a bit of time and read the 2009 controller study on our fare evasion program, as well as the follow-up study that was done by the MTA, and really looked at the things that they suggested and found that many of them made sense. For a while, we were utilizing our fare inspectors on problematic lines, and I really believed, after discussing it with Mr. Mason, that we really needed to be everywhere in our system, because no matter where you ride transit in our city, you should have the expectation that you could be asked for proof of payment. So we made these changes shortly after I took over the fair inspectors, I would say somewhere around August, the end of August. And now what's happening is our fair inspectors are in a different police district every day, and their saturation operations are in a different location every time. I'm very, very pleased with the results of this. I have gotten a lot of community feedback. People that were never asked for their proof of payment are now being asked for their proof of payment. And really, I kind of say the proof is in the pudding, as you'll see in the next slides that I'm about to show you. This is just a picture of one of our saturations.
Commander, just a question on the duties between SFPD, who are on board, as well as the fair inspectors. SFPD, are they doing fair inspection as well? Is that part of their scope of work? Because I know that was one of the concerns that came from a lot of the community, felt that there was officers who were actually, that was their prime work that they were doing on board, and there were a lot of concerns feeling that that presence was a little bit heavy, although I know there are a lot of people in the community want that presence as well, but just your answer would be good.
Our primary focus, our officers that are assigned to MTA, is simply to ride the lines and have a presence on the lines and prevent crime on the lines. They do assist the fair inspectors with operations. They do not participate in those operations. They are simply there in case they are needed in support of the fair inspectors. The captains do conduct proof of payment operations in their enforcement plans. I would not categorize it as something that we're doing constantly. The folks assigned to MTA from the police department are really in a supportive role. The fair inspectors, it's their primary purpose, and we like to allow them to do what it is that they do best.
Just a follow-up question on that. And when officers are engaged in fair inspection, would an officer go onto the bus or onto the light rail vehicle and ask every person on that line for a fare, or do they choose who they go to?
If our officers conduct fare evasion operations, they must do them exactly the way our fare inspectors do, which is they need to ask every patron for their proof of payment. We're not doing targeted enforcement or selective enforcement. I mean, the idea in proof of payment operations is to ask of everybody whether they can provide their proof of payment. So that's correct. They do not single out individuals in these operations. And a lot of the captains have taken it upon themselves, which I really like, to work very closely with Robert Wolfgang, our head of our transit fare inspectors, and work together with them, because I would rather have the people who are most comfortable with the fare inspection doing the fare inspection, and our officers are doing that. So to answer your question, no, they ask everybody. So this slide is just a typical picture of our fare evasion, one of our fare evasion saturations, and you can clearly see that the SFPD officers are really sort of in a supporting role, and the fare inspectors are the ones that really board the trains or the buses and ask for proof of payment and so forth. This is an example of our fair inspection calendar, and as you can see, they're in a different district every day. The highlighted sections are where we are conducting our saturations for this particular month. I think this was actually the month of December. So you can see they're kind of everywhere. Geary and 19th, 3rd and Evans, Geary and Fillmore, out in the Presidio, 4th and Barry. I'm really trying to move them along.
And Commander, could you just explain how this would work? So what are we seeing exactly in the slide? Are these folks who were on the bus who are now come off the bus to talk, to show proof of payment? Are they about to get on the bus?
No, it's and Supervisor, I'd love for you to just come out and have a look. Captain Mahoney runs these all the time too, supports our guys in these roles, and it's really amazing what they do. They basically are, our fare inspectors are at a bus stop. They basically, all of them board the bus at once. They ask for everybody's proof of payment, and then they get off of the bus or train. If somebody is not able while they are on the bus to provide their proof of payment, then they're asked to get off the bus, and they're either issued a warning or a citation. It really provides minimal impact to our transit system, number one, and a minimal inconvenience to the public. because pulling people on and off the bus, you know, ideally, and what we are doing is asking for the proof of payment while they're on our transit lines, and then we simply, if they can't provide it, then that's where they're asked to step off and the bus is allowed to go on its way.
Supervisor Olagi?
Yeah, this may be, this may pertain to, you know, the later part of your presentation, so, but I'll ask now since we're talking so much about fare evasion. And it seems that the people on the front line of this are frequently the drivers. So I'm wondering, to what extent does the, do you work with the Muni drivers, and what type of training do they receive and support? Because I know, you know, frequently I ride the bus daily, actually, and I feel that they really, you know, work hard and do their best to try to be kind of the safeguard there on the bus system. And so I'm just wondering, in the event where there isn't someone from the police department riding on that line, then, you know, what type of training, not just in this sense of the, but also, you know, I know that they have to deal with a lot of issues that relate to mental health, people with mental health challenges and this sort of thing. I'm just wondering what's the kind of the scope of their training.
Well, as far as the operators with that, would you, no, go ahead.
The operator.
Here, go ahead.
Okay, the operators are trained, you know, they are dealing with customer service. The operators are trained never to dispute a fare. If we tell them, hey, if a person is not, doesn't have the money to pay his fare, just let them on. Because a lot of times when they dispute a fare, operators get assaulted. And if it's an unruly passenger who gets on the bus, the operators will call our central control center, which would dispatch police to the bus to remove that patron from the bus. But they're told never dispute a fare. But we do have some operators out there that will challenge a person. But we tell them not to because of the probability of an assault on the bus operator.
Thank you.
Okay. This next slide shows an example of our proof of payment statistics. So in the month of November, our transit fare inspectors contacted 191,582 Muni patrons on our transit lines asking for proof of payment. Of that, they issued 2,821 warnings. Adult citations, they issued 3,901, and 27 of those were juvenile citations. And the juvenile piece of it, I'll get into in the coming slides. But what I'm pretty proud of is that you can see a 3.5% fare evasion rate, which we're starting to see compliance in our system, and that is really what the goal is here. So this is an example of what our folks are doing. The next slide will show, as I said, I took over the fare inspection program in August, late August, and changed the deployment strategy pretty soon after that. And really what you can see is this major uptick in the issuance of citations. And really that's because we are now every single place in our system. We are hitting every line as, you know, as well as you can do with 36 fare inspectors. But I'm very proud of the results that they've gotten. And December is even a higher uptick. And really what the ultimate goal here is to encourage compliance, which in turn then brings revenue to the agency, and it prevents us from issuing citations to people for fare evasion. In February, the MTA did a follow-up study to the 2009 study. They published it in February, and it showed our fare evasion rate at 8.5%. That they looked at every part of fare evasion, which means, which included paying partial fares, you know, differences in transfers and things like that. The cost to the SFMTA with a fare evasion rate at that level is about $19 million a year. So clearly our goal is to bring that way down, assure compliance, and you know, get Muni to where it needs to be. Currently, the SFMTA recovers about 41% of the citation amounts issued by the transit fare inspectors. Next is youth fare evasion. There's no difference between adults and juveniles and how we act with them in terms of fare evasion. But what I will say is when we decriminalized fare evasion, the juvenile piece of that was not decriminalized, and mainly that's because of the juvenile traffic court system what have you. So that's why you see far more warnings issued to juveniles than citations. As you can see here, of the 3,900 citations we issued, only 27 of those were juveniles. So most of that is that we want to educate our youth in this city with regard to their proper payment of fare and what it is that they need to do. Also, we utilize MTAP, which is our Muni Transit Assistance Program, which is headed by Sulu Pelega, and I'm going to ask him to come up to talk with you a bit about what his folks do, and then I can answer any other questions you might have. Sulu?
Commander, just this might be for you or for Mr. Pelega, and that is when a warning is issued, is that in the system? Do you get successive warnings? Does that lead to a citation? Is that how citations get issued for young people, for juveniles, or?
No, I mean our fare inspectors. I mean, I think you start to know if you repeatedly are asking the same system. This isn't plugged into a system anywhere. I mean, it's a warning that my folks give to the kids and just say, you know, you need to pay your fare, or you know, this is how you can do it better. You know, whether it's Clipper, whether it's you know a cash fare, but occasionally, you know, they come across the repeat offender, and that's when that would trigger a citation if. You know, we've told them, and they're clearly not getting the message, then the next step is to issue them a citation.
And I know that there is an interest from many members of the Board of Supervisors to see if we could actually make the youth free, their passage on Muni to be free, which makes a lot of sense. You know, I know a lot of people who are teachers, and when they take young people on field trips, they often go on Muni, and fare is an issue. And how do you pay for 25, 30 students or more to all go on when they don't all have the fare with them? A lot of them don't, you know, have that ability to pay. So I know it's an issue that there's a lot of interest in moving towards a fast pass system for young people that is free. And I know that will be an issue that perhaps make your work easier as moving forward if we're able to achieve that program.
Well, we're happy to assist in whatever plan is put into place. Certainly that's not something that will be a decision that I make, Supervisor Avalos, and we're happy to assist any way that we can. So.
Good morning,
Pelega,
Supervisor.
Welcome.
My name is Sulu Pelega. I'm the manager of the MTAP Muni Transit Program. We work real close with the schools, junior high schools, and we've even worked with some elementaries in the past because of some of the problems with the bigger kids bullying the little kids. We are currently concentrating at Phil and Sally Burton, Martin Luther King, and Marshall High School. We're also working with Mission and some of the schools in the Mission, Everett, James Lick. We're working in the West Corridor, which covers Washington Presidio, and some of the schools out there, which also covers Wallenberg and some of the junior high schools in the areas on Gary Street. We also work with Galileo Marina, covering the northeast part of the city, and we also work at the 108, which is the only line that provides transportation to Treasure Island. Treasure Island has a tie-dye community that has a number of kids and family that commute back to the city for school, and also the Job Corps, which holds about 600 to 700 people. Currently, I think they're close to about 675 students there from all throughout the country. And they are housed there. They come off the island to attend school and also have trade schools available to them at Treasure Island site. We have been noticing an increase in problems with regards to electronic devices. We're trying to mount a campaign to work closer with the high schools and junior high schools, because we're seeing that a lot of the youth are not only becoming victims, they're suspects in the issues. And we're trying to nip that because we don't want to see kids be put in Harlem's way. We're trying to work a little closer with the school to make sure that they work with us to identify a problem before it becomes escalated and becomes a major problem. Our latest adventure that we've been dealing with, and it's not really an adventure when you think about it, but it's been really a mind-boggling. We have kids at Marina Middle School who are bringing electric tools to schools, and after school are getting on the buses and opening, taking out the window and doing gang recruitment. And these are the kids from Chinatown and predominantly around Jackson and Presidio and Clay and throughout the Pingyung projects as well as other spots there. So we were able to nip it. We found the kids that were involved. We worked with the school, and we're literally going through the kids' backpack because they put them in the backpack, they get on the bus, they take them out. You know, a little power screwdriver is about that big, maybe 8 inches in diameter, in length, and they take it out, and the windows comes out real easy with a power screw as opposed to doing a hand job. And then they're pushing kids up against the windows and kind of doing all kind of crazy things to get them to get involved. Well, we were able to nip that. We're working with Marina Middle Schools, and we're working with MRT, and it's been a real joy working with them because anything that involves someone getting really hurt, we don't hesitate to bring them in, along with the SROs, which are the school's officers at the school. So basically, we've been riding the T-line from 4:30 to 7, and we've been noticing a lot of things that are going on there. Working with the Williams Street Police Station and also with MRT, we've been able to bring closure to some of those issues. Kids who get on usually free usually cause a lot of the problem, so we welcome the fair officers to come on there and check for that, because if we minimize that, I think we'll get away with a lot of things that get away from a lot of things that, like vandalism, harassments, bullying on the buses. These are all things that concern MTA, concerns my boss and the commander, Ms. Mason, about everything that goes on the buses. And we try to stay focused to work real close with the troubled kids by referring them to programs. There's a number of programs throughout the city that these kids can be referred to, and if they don't get it by then, you know, we bring in the officers, and usually they'll get a citation or they'll get sent up to juvenile for some counseling, and hopefully they'll get it from them. But we try to work real close with the school, and we work with the full diversity of kids in the city, all of them, from the Mission to the Bayview to Chinatown and also out in the Sunset in Richmond. So basically, we just try to work with them. We provide education, and we also try to work with them to make sure that they understand if they don't follow these rules, which are part of the Muni Penal Code rules, then they will get either arrested or cited for it. And I'm willing to answer whatever questions you have.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
The supervisors, Mr. Briskin mentioned earlier with our strategic plan and focusing in on safety and security. One of the things I've tasked the commander, Sulu, the security folks, and the safety folks with our goals and objectives for my division. One is to reduce crime on Muni by 5%, reduce graffiti incidents on Muni by 5%, and also obtain a fare raising rate of 5% on the system. The only area that we're having some problems with right now, which the commander has truly changed the deployment plan, is the fare evasion rate. And we're seeing that steadily increase. And what has really helped us to increase our enforcement on the system with transit fare inspectors, we moved them from our Metro, Muni Metro East facility to our One South Van Ness location. So they're centralized now and can travel throughout the city opposed to riding the T-line to the specific locations. So we move them here downtown, and they can go wherever we need them to go throughout the system. We're seeing a reduction in crime. We've seen a significant reduction in graffiti incidents, and we're working very hard to reach that 5% evasion rate goal that I set for those folks. So that this has never happened before. There was never some accountability there within a division, within safety and security division on goals and objectives. And now we've established that, and they have to meet those goals. So we're now moving to, we're doing better. We're going where we need to go.
I think that's great to hear. It's an important change for a lot of people in Bayview Hunters Point area who felt that their the T-line, which is the one that's most used to get downtown, was really concentrated heavily by the Fair Inspection Program, felt that they were being targeted. And
right.
I think that kind of alleviates some concern, and I'm glad to hear that change was made.
Yes.
Supervisor Loggett.
Yeah, and along the lines of what Supervisor Avalos just said, it seems to me that there is a real concerted effort and intention to avoid the profiling of youth, and I'm heartened by that, because that's always been a concern of mine just as a writer. And so I'm glad to hear that you are committed to.
Yeah, absolutely, Supervisor. I mean, that's why it's like I said, it's important for us to be everywhere in our system, and not any one demographic should ever be targeted or have the perception that they're being targeted. I mean, a lot of times perception is 9/10, you know. So it seems to be working very well. And like Mr. Mason said, moving them from Muni Metro East over to 1 South Van Ness, it really stopped the sort of piling on of the T-line, because in order to go anywhere in their course of their workday, they had to get on the T-line. And, you know, when they get on en masse. So it creates this perception that we're targeting the T-line, when in fact we were simply going from point A to point B. But now that we've moved them, it's done a couple things. One, you know, put us on the T-line when it's part of our operational mode and only. And two, it's affected morale. I mean, they're very happy to be centrally located and being able to go all throughout our system easily. So I thank you for your comments.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, the work that you're doing with Captain Mannix and Northern Station seems to be effective. So even though it's still at a 30% rate, as you mentioned, there has been a decrease from where it was. So hopefully we can just keep on that.
Yes, and Supervisor Loggie, part of that too, which Sulu touched on, was, you know, we have seen a bit of an uptick in the electronic device larceny and theft of those devices, and we are working with the schools on an educational campaign for the kids, number one, like Sulu mentioned, and number two, we're in the process, and within probably a couple of weeks, of introducing a major campaign at MTA, which is designed to educate all members of the public to be aware of your surroundings when you're using your electronic devices. I mean, you know, we're in this mode. I was telling Supervisor Avalos earlier that I was on a bus the other day, and almost every seat had somebody looking down and texting with the headphones in their ears, and clearly they're not looking at what's and paying attention to what's going on around them. And I think the importance is to educate the public fully about when they use their devices, just to be aware, you know, and we're moving in that direction, and look to have that campaign out really in the next couple of weeks, and I'm excited for that to hit our transit system.
Yeah, and given that this program seems to be a very, you know, it's moving in a very successful direction, there's a lot of successes that you could point to, the collaboration between the SFPD and the MTA. I think to the extent that that's successful, then it alleviates some of the burden from the operators.
Yes.
You know, and that's been something that, you know, I've always been concerned about just as a rider, you know,
right,
because so much falls on their shoulders. So I'm glad to see that this is moving in a positive direction.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. We're going to go on to public comment, and then we might have other questions that come up after that, but thank you very much, and it's very, very informative. So this item is up for public comment. Any member of the public who'd like to comment, please come forward.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Douglas Yep, and I've lived in San Francisco for 59 years. I would like to thank Supervisor Cohen for having this hearing, but it was a little strange that I noticed that it was assigned to public safety back in July, but it didn't come up for hearing till today. So I'm kind of wondering why it took 6 months interval before today's hearing. So I just like to bring that up for discussion by the supervisors. Secondly, I would like to question why there was only one item on today's agenda. Given the state of San Francisco, I would think that we should have at least five items. And then in order to be proactive, I would like to make a suggestion for the Public Safety Committee as a possible hearing. I would like to bring up the subject of who is Joseph Mollispin and why did he die as a gay man, as a city employee at San Francisco General under mysterious circumstances back in 1999, and to this very day, I still haven't found one person inside City Hall willing to even discuss his situation. In my opinion, this is not
general public comment. It's comment on the hearing we have before us.
Right. I'm trying to relate to that.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah. In my opinion, I feel that this is a public safety matter because in addition to Muni's long history of crime, I also feel that there are other crimes in San Francisco that deserve the attention of the Public Safety Committee. And I feel that Muni is long overdue for the beneficial programs it has now. So I think we ought to start in some other areas. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other members of the public who would like to comment? And seeing no one come forward, we'll close public comment. Okay. And I want to thank Supervisor Cohen for bringing this item forward. And I just a question whether we would want to get an update in the future, or you want to prefer to file this, or continue it to the call of the chair? Okay, that's what we will do. We'll, without objection, we will continue this item to the call of the chair. And also want to thank again Commander Militello and the Mr. Rhodes. I'm sorry, Mr. Mason, Ms. Pelega, for being here and your presentation. Thank you very much. And Madam Clerk, we are. Any other items before us?
No, Mr. Chairman.
We are adjourned. Thank you.